Let's turn in together in our Bibles back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And let's pray as we look into God's words together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, this moment where we can come into your presence with thanksgiving, where we can read the Word of God, the Word of life. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that the truths found in your Word would impact our lives in a clear and in a living way. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're coming, as we begin a new month, we're coming on to a new short series throughout this month of July, and we're looking at our vision and our heart for serving with children and young people in this local area that God has called us to be in. And it's something wonderful. Today's title is A Bigger Vision for Children and Youth. And there are some people here this morning who are on our Ignite team, and we're really grateful to everybody who plays a part in this church on seeking to win and to disciple children and young people for Christ. That's part of the call of God here on our lives at St. Mary's, and it's something very, very important. This time we're also re-advertising for our Ignite director, the director of children and youth, and really want to encourage you to keep that appointment in your prayers. It's very, very important. And last Sunday night, as we prayed into that appointment, ideally we would have liked to have made that appointment already. This is our fourth time going out to re-advertise, and we've been praying about this subject for some time. And last Sunday night, as we prayed, someone felt the Lord was speaking to them, saying that this has been a pause with a purpose. It's been a pause because it feels like a pause because we haven't yet appointed that Ignite director as we would have liked to have done. It's taking longer than we would like, having been on our fourth round of advertising. But God, nothing is a surprise to God. God knows our need. He knows all about us. He's our provider. He gives us all we need at the proper time. And so we're looking for what the purpose of God, or what the direction or leading of the Lord is in this time. And one of those things is just reminding us that really it's not all down to one person. This whole ministry of Ignite, or ministry among children and young people in our generation, doesn't fall on the shoulders of one Ignite director. It comes to the whole body of Christ. Someone once said, the old adage, it takes a whole village to raise a child, and it takes a whole church to disciple children and young people. And that's where we began to just take closer note of this idea that actually God is calling us as his people, not just a person, but the whole people of God, which includes all of us of any age, of any background. If Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we all share in the joy and in the responsibility of leading children and young people to Christ and passing on, as Psalm 145 says, one generation will declare your works to another. And that's part of God's call, and it's been part of God's call on St. Mary's here, particularly for some time. In terms of our particular ministry, we have many more children and young people as part, either in the church family or on the fringe of the church family, many more children and young people proportionately than most churches. And I would say that's part of God's call upon us as a local church. There's something God has placed in the heart of this church family, which is a massive privilege. It's a real honor to have that call of God upon us as a local church to seek to see children become Christians, give their lives to Christ, and then also seek to see them grow in Christ. That is our call. We have something around 100 on our registers, in fact more than 100 under 18 year olds on our registers as a church, but we have something like 1,200 under 18 year olds just in the St. Mary's ward alone, and most of them have no knowledge of God. So we're not just called to our own young people here in the church family, we are, but we're not only called to them, we're called to the young people and the children who today don't know Christ and are just within a stone's throw of this church. Over 1,200 of them. And that's just in the St. Mary's ward alone. And so God, I believe, wants to give us a bigger vision. A bigger vision. Some of us may think, well, we've already got a big vision for children and young people. You know what? I would say let's increase it. Because the vision of God is that every single one of those children and young people would know Christ. And it's true that most people who become Christians under the age of 18. We've got a tremendous opportunity to win and disciple children and young people for Christ, and it's something we need to take hold of with both hands. And that's why both our readings this morning from Luke chapter 2 and Jeremiah chapter 1 focus on something of what the Bible says about children and young people. And Jeremiah describes his call as a young man, and we'll come back to that in a moment. And here in Luke chapter 2, we get a picture, a snapshot, not a very big one, but it's one nonetheless of Jesus as a child and Jesus as a teenager. When he was 12, we find Jesus in the temple. We're going to come on to that in a moment. But as I was thinking and reflecting on this, I was thinking, I want to tell you, I've got an amazing testimony. Hope you think you've got an amazing testimony. I've got one of the best testimonies. Why? Because I became a Christian as a child. For too long, the church has thought that the best testimonies are the ex-drug dealers. Praise God for drug dealers becoming Christians. Tell you what, I'm glad I never touched the stuff. I became a Christian as a child. Praise God. Anyone else become a Christian as a child? Wonderful. You are one of God's favored ones. I want us to up that testimonies of children are brilliant. Where did we get the idea that it's a second-class testimony if you became a Christian as a child? It's a brilliant testimony. It means you haven't spent time wandering in the confusion and darkness of this lost world. It means you belong to Christ for even longer. Wonderful. And there's something wonderful about knowing Jesus as a child. And as I thought about my own story, I thought a couple of things here. Number one, my parents taught me the gospel. They taught me the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, how to find my way around my Bible. They taught me what the gospel was, and I'm really grateful to them for that. And I want to speak to us today. You might be a parent, you might be a grandparent, you might just know children, and I'm sure somewhere along the line in your life, there's probably a child somewhere. And I want to encourage you today, for the children, the grandchildren, the godchildren, the children that are in your life, that you would teach them the gospel, that you would take it on yourself to disciple those kids so that they would know the way of salvation. Secondly, as I thought, it's really good. My dad took me on mission. He took me on mission. I used to do missions with my dad. It's when I first preached a sermon, was on mission with my dad. And that's something really special. That's why I took my daughter Beth to Finland this year. She's 13. But I wanted to take her on mission, and I'll do it with all of them, because I want them to see that Christianity isn't just something that you're spoon-fed on a Sunday morning. I want them to see that it's something real and that we need to share and spread that message. Number three, I also saw my parents live out a sacrificial faith. It wasn't just a church on a Sunday's faith. It was a sacrificial faith. They obeyed God when it was difficult. My mum, I always remember, you've heard me say this before, but I always remember her putting her head in her hands when we did the farm sale, sold up everything for Christ, and they went off to become evangelists, and they had to sell everything. And I was there as an 11-year-old looking at my mum crying on the kitchen table. This is the cost of discipleship. Did it set me back? No way. It spurred me on. This is what it's really about. We don't just have a sort of plastic paper Christianity. We have something real. This costs something. This is like raising the bar. We want to raise the bar for children and young people, not lower it. And so let's live out our Christian lives. And don't be afraid to show our kids that Jesus means everything to us. And he does to them. And then also, fourthly, I reflected that actually, as I grew up in a Baptist church up in the north of Scotland, some of the most influential people in my life was not my youth worker. His name was Dave. Dave was good, but he wasn't the most influential person. It was actually a couple called John and Sonia Cantello. What was it that was so impacting about them? Their home was one of massive hospitality. And I remember they welcomed refugees from Kosovo during the Kosovo crisis, as I was a young person at that time. And I saw their example. I was in their home. They used to have a very open home. And I remember being blown away by their example. It spoke to me far more than the Bible studies I got from my youth worker, to be honest. It was seeing the Christ lived out in their lives of generosity, hospitality. They really lived a life of love. They put into practice their faith. And they weren't the paid youth worker. I just thought about that this week. People who've made an impact on my journey as a Christian young person. And that's what our young people need in us. They need to see us. Our young people here, whether they're in St. Mary's, whether they're in your family somehow or somehow connected to you, young people are looking for something real, authentic, genuine. And they want to see you and me live out a real, costly, full-blooded Christianity with Jesus Christ at the center. Young people don't want a Christian faith that doesn't mean anything. They're just going to give it up. They want to see something that they can really give their lives to. And I love it here in Luke chapter 2. Mary and Joseph are parents who've given up so much for God. They have sacrificed. They have gone through the mill. It wasn't an easy call upon Mary and Joseph to bring up the Lord Jesus. And they're normal parents. They're young people. But they're parenting with God. And we see how they invested in their children with Jesus spiritually. It says in the first verse there, the first verse that we read there says, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord. I think that's a good word for parents. It was speaking about when they had taken Jesus to the temple, to be presented in the temple. But Mary and Joseph were parenting with the fear of the Lord. They were parenting with the love of God at the heart. And it says, and we read too, that every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And so the parents, Mary and Joseph, were bringing up their children with Jesus as one of their children. They were bringing up their family to know God. They were putting a priority on spiritual investment in their kids. And whether we're grandchildren, grandparents or parents or no children, I would encourage us to invest spiritually in our children and in our young people. The great point of humor for me here also is that they were not perfect parents. Look, they missed Jesus for days. I mean, that's not great parenting in some ways, is it? Certainly not in our context, you know, to just lose your child for quite a long time. And no wonder they said to him, when his parents saw him, his mother said, son, why have you treated us like this? I'm sure a lot of parents would say the same. Why have you treated us like this? That's true. That's just normal parenting. Mary and Joseph were normal parents, but they parented with God. And they wanted to bring up their children along with Jesus. And I love how it says, verse 40, the child grew. Jesus, speaking of Jesus, the child grew and became strong. Became strong. We want children who are going to grow and become strong in the Lord. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That is a tremendous vision for parenting. No parents are perfect. No kids are perfect. Far from it. It's the same in my house. We have our moments all the time on a daily basis, but we try to parent with God. But I want my kids to be strong, to be filled with wisdom and the grace of God on them. And I think that's what you want for your grandkids, your kids, the people, the kids in this church, and the kids around this area to know Christ and to become strong disciples and really going for it with God. Our children, let's get a vision for this. Let's say, God, touch our hearts again. We want the generation coming to surpass us. Don't we want that? Do we want our kids and our grandkids and the teenagers and we want them to know God in a greater way and experience the power and the blessing of God more than we did or are doing. And so it's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen through you and me taking some time to invest. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But here's the story when Jesus was that 12-year-old boy. And I think children, young people, and what they need today is, I was reflecting on this, thinking what young people need today is a role. They need a job. They need something to think, this is what I'm giving into. I'm not just turning up and things are laid on for me. They want a role. They want to be valued. They want mentoring. They need fundamentally, they need the gospel in their lives. We want to make sure all our children, young people, have actually become Christians. They need discipleship. They need a mission. They need continuity of people around them who love them. They need friendship and to come along with other people. It means a lot to them. They need people who are relatable. And the funny thing is that for the longest time, I have not felt like a very relatable person to young people. But what I'm learning is, because I'm, as you can tell, this is not going to be news to anybody, but I'm not that cool. I'm not with it on that scale or that whatever is needed, the X factor. But for young people, what I'm learning is that doesn't matter. In fact, if I tried to be cool, it would be the worst thing possible. What they want is people who'll just be them, who'll be real and be honest and say it how it is and be open and real and honest and truthful with them. Just to be ourselves. That's what they want. Nothing more, nothing less. And you see here the call of God on... just at the end, in Luke chapter 2, the last verse there, verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And that's when he was coming up to his teenage years and into his teenage years. We need a vision for teenagers like this. That they don't have to backslide. They don't have to go off with the things of the world. Why is that inevitable? They can grow in wisdom and stature. They can find favor with God and man. That's the vision to present our young people today. That's something to get a vision for praying for. God, give us a generation that are growing in grace, that are growing in the things of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. A generation that are hungry for God's Word. A generation that learn to pray. A generation that learn to reach out. A generation with a passion in their hearts for what's true and right and godly. A generation of wisdom, a generation of with favor with God and man. That's what we want to be raising up. And wouldn't it be one of the best things that you and I could do, whether we are at whatever stage of adulthood we are at, and nobody is exempt from it, is to somehow invest somehow into some young person's life and to say, I've got a vision for you. I'm going to pray for you. And that's so important for us. Just look with me a moment, just to focus briefly on God's call to Jeremiah. We also had a reading from Jeremiah 1. And Jeremiah, the Lord called him. And Jeremiah said, Ah, Sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you. Because sometimes young people end up with feeling put down and that they can't do anything and that all the ministry or all the good things happen to adults. I want to just say that we want this place and this church to be a place where young people can flourish and where the call of God on young people's lives excels. We want preachers, worship leaders, all kinds of people to be raised up from among us. In every field of human flourishing, where those young people feel gifted and called and talented by God to really go for it. But, you know, we want these young people to sense God's call on their life and to say, and nothing would stop them fulfilling that call. Is that not what we want? It is, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. We want Jeremiahs here in our generation. And I'm going to finish just by saying, how can we do this? How can we get this bigger vision to see, just like Jeremiah or just like Jesus, children and young people growing in this way, becoming strong, filled with wisdom, the grace of God on them, favor with God and man, not saying I'm too young, but God saying, no, go for it. I've called you, young person. You do what I say for you to do. Here are some brief ways that we can actually engage with this. Number one, don't leave it to others. Don't just think, well, you know, that's someone else's job. That's the Ignite team's job. That's the youth director's job. That's the parent's job. That's somebody else's job. It's not my job. It is all of our job. We live in such an individualistic, small-minded culture today. We want to have that heart of God, whoever we are. Don't leave it to others. Let God's heart for the coming generation touch your heart. Number two, be interested. Be interested. Feed that vision. Somehow, whether it's with God children, grandchildren, whoever it may be, young people, show an interest in them. In what's going on for them, because they would love to share their lives with us. And sometimes we're too busy for them. We're not interested. And that's why they're just on their screens all day long, because people are not showing an interest in them. Number three, prayer. 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 I can't emphasize this enough. Prayer. We should pray. Pray for the young people in your life. Pray for the young people of Loughton. Pray for the schools in this community. Pray for the teachers. Pray for the parents. Pray all around this whole theme of God sending His Holy Spirit on this coming generation, children and young people. There's so much to pray for. And as we pray, I want to also add into that safeguarding as well, because part of praying is praying protection on our children and young people. And we're also all called to safeguard and to protect and to gatekeep, as it were, to save them, to protect them from the works of the evil one, whatever those may be. There's so much that our children need safeguarding from today. And the enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion, and his mouth is open. He's ready to devour this coming generation. But actually, God is calling up watchmen and watchwomen, spiritual grandparents, parents, who will pray, who will say, I'm not going to let our young people go to, you know, the broad road that leads to destruction. I want our children and young people to find the narrow road that leads to life, and I'm going to stand in the gap and pray. Pray for them. Pray for them in a whole new way. Maybe God will give us today a fresh vision to pray for our godchildren, pray for our grandchildren. Pray for those around us at the school gate or wherever you may be, what your context may be. Fourthly, serve on team. We have teams here of people. There are people here with that heart who say, I will help lead. I will help. None of us feel equipped for it. None of us think we're good enough. None of us think we're experts. We're all just people who say, God, here I am. I'm available. I'll serve. I will have that vision and that love, and even if I don't do, you know, I'll do my best. You know, I might not be Sometimes we're thinking we have to be professional. You don't have to be professional. You just have to be real and yourself in Christ. And that's the main thing. And then also, the last thing I'll say is please encourage parents. Please encourage parents to bring up their children in the fear of the Lord, in the knowledge of God. Encourage parents and encourage them. We need encouragement. And so today, as I've said, we're not putting all our hope in a youth director. We're putting our hope in God. Much more than a youth director, our children need God. How are they going to get the Lord? It's through a whole church. Every person in this church family with a vision, with a heartbeat for children and young people to say, yes, Lord, we pray. I will do what I can do. I will do what I can do for the coming generation. I'll put aside my prejudgments, my prejudices, my excuses, and I'll say, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I will engage in the blood, sweat, and tears of prayer and fight for the young people today to know God, because it is a battle and we want them to know Christ. I hope you're with me today. I really hope that you catch a vision. And that if God prompts you this morning, you don't decide over lunch, actually don't worry about it. I hope you decide over lunch to start writing some names down in a prayer journal for children. I hope you decide to say, I will get involved. I hope you decide to do something in some way that says, I'm on active duty. This is my enlistment. I've been called up. Here's the draft notice gone out this morning. And if I can say, we want to listen to our commanding officer who says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I want to say this morning to children and to young people. Amen.